We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello and welcome into the So Rare Andrews podcast brought to you by RotoWire. I am Andrew Laird, senior soccer editor of RotoWire, joined as always by Andy Black this week to talk about progression, which is funny. We thought we should push this off for a few weeks before the new reward structure came out. And then the AMA happened today and the word progression came up like 100 times. So we're just going for it. What'd you think of the AMA, at least, Danny, before we specifically talk about progression?
I don't know. There was a lot of stuff in there, and I still don't feel like I've completely, like, comprehended all of it. Mm-hmm. I think the big area that people are still a little bit, like, curious about is that whole academy progression system where, of course, there's going to be questions until they give the exact specifics of exactly how it will work. So, I think that people are just really kind of curious. I think overall they addressed every worrisome question that people have. Like I saw a lot of questions on there about the ecosystem and scaling and just concerns. And I think that they did a good job of just explaining themselves. And that transparency, I think, is pretty big.
I was frankly like amazed at the transparency. Like not that I come from other, I mean, I have never played on a site like this anyway, but from the DFS sites, like the transparency is nothing, like literally nothing. They try to make it seem like there's some, but there's just so little. And so to have this, very clearly, like, this is our plan. This is how we're going to implement it. And even admitting, like, we're not quite sure what we're doing with this part yet, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The honesty at least sounds positive.
Agreed. Like the admissions that certain things are broken or bad. Like they came out and said that, yes, we hate the way that our K League and J League deadlines work right now, or just the deadlines in general and how they affect K and J. And just hearing them say that we don't like it, like, is, I think, positive for the environment.
For sure. And it's obviously easy for us to be like, oh, fix this. And right. It's at least nice to not only acknowledge it, but for them to be like, no, you're right. This is not ideal. Yeah. And so we'll figure out a solution.
For sure.
So the topic that we were going to discuss was progression. And I think it changed. The conversation changes now that we have this AMA, because we found out some stuff of what specifically how they want, or they think that they want people to progress through their game. But it didn't really answer the question that I have always wondered with people who work at So Rare or everybody else. I brought it up to you, and I'll do it on this podcast so more than one person hears it. But like, what do you think they consider progression in their game?
I don't know. Like, yeah. Progression. I don't know what they are thinking. I think that, like, if you look at Division Four, the progression is kind of outwards across different regions. So like, if you're playing All-Star Division Four, I think right now the progression that they want is you to play to all of the regions, like to mm-hmm. win a card from America, win a card from Europe, and just slowly build it outwards. And I think that the main reason I believe that is that there's no super rare prizes in D4. So if there was, then it would be, okay, well, if you podium, then maybe you can get a low tier or like a tier 3 or tier 2 super rare that can get you started into Division 3. But mm-hmm. they don't do that. So that's clearly not their intention.
So we've talked previously about not using super rares in Division 3. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it be successful. I've seen some people try to enter five rares in D3, global D3, and not even have a lineup in D4, which I think is really aggressive because you don't have the safety net. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously the top prizes are better in D3. So I get it. So I agree with you that right now, I think the progression for D4 is out. And certainly I'm assuming that most people start playing global All-Star Division 4. Like, they don't come in and specifically buy like just MLS cards and go play Champion America or whatever region it is. Like, I think a vast majority of people play global. And that, based on the prize structure, you can get cards from anywhere at that point. Like, I won a tier 3 Champion Asia card 2 weeks ago, I think. Excuse me, no Champion Asia players in my lineup. And it's almost like, not that it's selected, but it's almost like, it almost felt like that was like, no, here's how you progress. We'll give you a Champion Asia card.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh, if I get a few of these, then I'll go buy those cards. Like,
right.
I was thinking earlier, like, fundamentally, progression in the game is buying more cards. Like, that's all they want us to do. That's how their business works. Like, they just want us to get more cards. And so if it's more Champion Asia and more Challenger Europe and more Champion America cards, like, great, just buy more cards.
Right.
Enter whatever you can, because you can do that. But this new announcement with the Academy makes me think that, well, obviously you can still play more Division 4, but I think it's stopping me, like, me personally, the way that I've been playing So Rare so far. Like, I play Division 3 when I have extra cards from a region. Like, I don't enter D3 expecting anything. It's just like, I'd rather play them there than put them in training, because if lightning strikes five times, then maybe I get something with those cards, and in special training, sure, I don't get anything. But this new Academy, where if I enter those lineups, I can't enter the Academy, and I'm much more likely to get something in the Academy. Why should I play D3?
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
I think it's as simple as that, right? You shouldn't.
But does that stop me from progressing in So Rare?
Well, so, I mean, that maybe, but it's weird because, like, the whole Academy piece is progression. It's just progression to something different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually you stock up enough ETH or whatever from that progression, you might build up a balance to start buying super rares and get into D3 and actually really want to compete there. But I think that they do have a bit of a bug here where it's like, okay, they might have shot themselves in the foot a little bit, and maybe they need a different type of Academy for D3, or they need something else. because right now that they are preventing people from wanting to go into that region. Like, of course, I'm already going to compete in D3s and D2s because I have the cards to do it. But somebody new that is like just kind of teetering, they're right on the edge. Why would they? Like, keep doing the academy and getting your progression points there. Why would they even take that risk of going to D3?
I don't think they would. Like, I guess the real answer is that the prizes are better in D3. And theoretically, we're getting more of them at the end of May when the new prize structure comes out. But it just seems like, it almost seems like I would enter D3 to get cards to help me in the academy. Like, because I'm not winning, most likely not winning super rares in D3, unless I have super rares. I don't know if it's worth, like, I'm wondering how many people play D3 now and actually stop playing. Like, they, you know, they're not necessarily winning in D3, but if they're playing. And so now it's like, well, now, you know, it's fewer people that theoretically I have to beat in order to get a card in D3, but I'm still not getting a card that helps me progress even in D3, let alone somewhere else, you know, to possibly get to D2 one day. Like, it does feel like they're trying to make the progression wider, but they only have so many regions.
Yeah, I think that they just need to not be done yet with what they are proposing and to kind of think a little bit harder and maybe find a way to not prevent people from wanting to progress into other tougher divisions. I mean, right now that seems like a pretty bad bottleneck that they put in place there. And, you know, somebody did want to just play D4 in the academy forever. That's fine. But at some point you do want I would think that you would want your users to expand and come up in the divisions and compete at the tougher levels for better prizes.
I mean, it's obviously not really feasible to expect all of your users to want to play every tournament in every division.
Certainly.
So, yeah. But I agree. It just seems like they're kind of capping. I mean, they're not capping it. Everybody plays their own, and there are plenty of people right now who like just play D4, global D4 for the threshold, and maybe they never buy anything else. Maybe they just say, "I'm going to withdraw at some point, and I'll use that money to buy groceries," you know, like, or whatever you want to buy, a new lawnmower. But like, it just seems like my guess is most of that money stays in SoRare, and so if you're building your way up, are you just building your way up to keep trying to win D4s? And if you get to that point, like, where do you go after that? I guess that's when you give up, when you've just dominated D4, as if that's possible.
Yeah. I don't know.
If anybody is listening or watching and has an answer to that, we're very curious because
I think
bottleneck is the correct term that you use.
Yeah. They have some work to do, I think, still. Yeah. And I don't think it needs to be like groundbreaking. They need to change everything. Just there needs to be maybe a little tweak in there to incentivize that move to D3. Maybe it's another academy. Maybe it's a D3 academy or something. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It felt weird as we were preparing to do a podcast about progression. And I was thinking selfishly, the way that I have accumulated cards, that regressing to the academy seems like the more beneficial path.
Yeah. The entire game is regression, though. Like, I was thinking about this earlier today. If you were starting to play the game and you had an unlimited budget and you could only buy 5 cards, what would you buy?
5 uniques.
Right. Well, and not just because the prizes are so good there, but the whole progression in the game is reverse. You use 5 uniques to win star super rares. And then in D2, you win more super rares. But, I mean, you can trade those to get the rares that you need to compete in D3. And now you have the super rares for D3 as well. And then you slow, like, that doesn't make any sense. And I get why they do it. partially, because there's only so many super rare prizes that they can give. So they can't be throwing them out like candy in D4.
Right.
Or they'll run out. They'll just simply run out. But it makes very little sense to me, like, that it works so backwards like that. Like, if it were a little bit backwards, like maybe where D1 was super rare prizes or something, but the whole structure seems to be working its way back.
But it's really a scarcity thing, right? Like, that's why. Like, you explained,
I think so,
it.
Yeah,
you can't give away enough super rares.
Except I think they can give away more uniques.
Probably. Like, is there an expectation? Like, would you have the expectation that every player should have a unique card?
No.
Right. So in that sense, sure, they can make as many as you. I mean, they can make as many individual uniques as you want. But like, I mean, what are you doing with your worthless unique card?
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but they award tier two uniques. No, and I don't think that they should be awarding stars and tier one uniques. Like,
right.
Those should be sold, and that's where they should make.
That's what I mean. Right.
Make your money there.
Right.
But tier three uniques, maybe. And it might be a bad product. You might want a backup goalie tier three unique that is never going to be worth anything ever. But that would be kind of a lottery where they could award those somewhere. I don't know. And I'm not suggesting to know where they should award those at, but I think most of those just won't get minted.
Yeah. I thought it was like, I actually chuckled reading the AMA when they said, it was kind of the opposite of what we were just talking about, how they like award lesser cards based on what you're playing, that they were going to start awarding super rares in the special weekly, because I consider that easily the worst thing to enter every week. It depends on the week of how many people enter, but like
they're going to completely redo that, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Is my understanding. Like, I think that they're going to make people want to compete there.
Well, it's less wanting to compete there than wanting to use my cards there as opposed to somewhere else. And
right. And
such a limited number of prizes makes it really tough for somebody that doesn't have a huge collection to even consider it.
I think they've got enough feedback that sucks. There's going to be like a tier three party there. Like,
right. Like
HG said, tier three party. And I think it's coming the weekly. I think obviously it's going everywhere, but I think the weekly, like there's been enough people just bringing that up that they know, I hope.
So you think it'll be, meaning you play with tier threes?
Or no.
Do you mean awarding tier threes?
Yeah. And I think that the reward structure in the weekly will look more like other regions where they're rewarding, you know, 50 people or not just the top 10.
Do you think, I mean, it's definitely going to happen. So let me change the question.
Mm-hmm.
How many game weeks into the new reward structure do people start to complain that they're winning too many absurd
crappy cards?
They would never, crappy cards. Yeah.
Oh, it'll be first week.
Like first week, right?
Boom. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe there'll be like a little bit of like an acceptance, or like they'll let it go the one week, and then the second week it's just more crap, and they're just going to be, I mean, is what it is. Like, I think the last like five or six tier threes I've won have just been complete crap. And I know that yours have been too. It's just part of the deal. And if I really wanted to, I could go dump them on the market now, but I got a couple of them. Like, there's some hope where they might be starters next year or something. But I'm not selling low right now.
That must be nice, having hope on a guy who might start next year. Yeah, I guess I just, I'm swayed a little bit by a number of Twitter conversations I've had today of people who have looked at declining card prices.
Mm-hmm.
And peg that to they gave us all too many cards. They auctioned so many of them and flooded the market. And now I can't sell my cards at all. and awarding more cards is basically doing the same thing. Sure. We're getting them for free.
Yeah.
But I think the, like, I still can't sell my cards is going to be a problem. And so now those cards, like, the idea it was is supposed to be win more cards and progress mm-hmm. in our game. And now we're like winning more cards and I'm not using these cards except to possibly get a new header on my gallery or my club page. And I can't sell them and I'm not progressing other than just having more cards.
I think, I mean, those tier threes are going to be worth very, very little. And I think that if you want to sell them, you'll be able to sell them, but they're just, they're going to be worth very little. Like, people should not go in expecting to win these tier threes and being able to flip them for 0.1 or whatever. Yeah. They're going to be whatever the floor, I don't know what the floor is going to be on pricing, but it's going to be low. Like, I think it doesn't ever in the floor, $5 that you can list something at, $5, $6, something like that.
I mean, it's already at three digits past the decimal. So, yeah, so like,
those cards are going to be, and if I think people are stubborn too on the secondary market where they think that their crap doesn't stink and it does, but they haven't listed it unreasonable prices and that's why it's not selling. If you want something to sell, keep lowering the price. It will eventually sell.
I mean, there's a price.
Jabba
there's
the
a price for somebody. Like I've told that to a few people today that like, you don't need 50 people to buy your car. You literally just need one.
Right.
But just being the cheapest doesn't mean it's cheap enough for somebody to buy it. And so
100%.
Like that's just fundamentally, like I think people have a very, like they don't look at selling cards as if they're buying them.
Right.
So like a very simple, like, would you buy that card at that price? Like heavens no. Well,
right.
That's why nobody's buying your card at that price.
Yeah. And I think that's a really, really good point. Like when I am selling something, I think that way. It's like, would I buy it at that price? No, then I need to lower the price. And once I get to that point where it's like questionable, that's when you at least list it at that. If somebody buys it, great. If not, you're going to just have to keep lowering it.
Right. Right. Talk about regression. Oof.
Yeah.
So ignoring the Academy, and talking about progression from D4 to D3.
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything in the game right now that will do that, will allow you to, like, there's really nothing. You were saying, like, you can't win a super rare in D4. You can win F to buy one. But, like, should there be something, should I be able to win one in D4? Like, I mean, of course the answer is yes. Like, we want to win better cards.
I think that they should get rid of the like the first place maybe, and maybe you just give away one super rare, but maybe you do first place and that's like a tier one or tier two super rare, something like that. I mean, you're gonna have situations where people are gonna be upset because the if you give a star rare to second place or third place or something, where that card could be better than the super rare, but I don't know. I think that there's value in having at least some set progression there for people to aim towards.
So how would you recommend somebody who plays D4 most regions, how do I get to D3?
You pay money.
I mean, it's really the only answer.
Because yes.
I can't win it. Well, I'm just saying, like, in actuality, and I did like a video a while ago of like how to make money in So Rare, and like the answer is like sell cards or win tournaments. And
yeah, so here's the really dumb answer: you put your best cards in D3 and try to win the tier three super rare that goes to first place.
Right.
That's, I mean, I that's always been kind of a joke to me that they throw that one in there, like tier three super rare, like. Sure. Sometimes it's good, but why does that division need such a good prize? That's tier three super rare could be good, could be bad, probably bad, but they also get a star prize. They also get F. Like that's like winning the lottery. You win that division.
Yeah.
And then doing that. If your tier three super rare isn't complete crap, then wow, you really hit Yahtzee.
Right. Yeah. I think it just goes back to I can't remember if we had this conversation on the podcast last week or if it was off, but like, we need more tiers. And the fact that it was probably with HG, like having tier three literally be like everyone else after, you know, star tier one and tier two. It just seems like there are either they need more tiers or they need to be very specific who makes tier three. And then there's got to be a gigantic pool of players. And I guess it just works against them because they're probably not selling them that much. But like a vast majority of cards on So Rare are not like shouldn't be. People don't get excited about winning them. And like you should be excited about winning it. And I think if you go through the tier three list and you're like, never heard of this guy, never heard of this guy. And you go to the transfer market and you see that they're selling for 0.003. Like, why is that? That shouldn't be a reward. I don't even know where I was going with that.
I mean, I don't disagree at all. There should be six tiers or five tiers. There needs to be more tiers where you can at least lump out the really, really crummy cards out of tier three and make tier three at least some kind of base level where the card is usable. And then your tier fours might be teetering on that edge of, you know, they're subs, they're not starters, but they sub into games and might, you know, do something. And then your last tier is just, okay, these are DNP.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And maybe it's because they're injured. Maybe they're on, you know, like maybe it's like Diego Costa where he's on a team. And I actually don't know his situation, but he's not playing right now. And I imagine he's kind of sitting out until next season or something. But like that would be a card that you might lump into one of those tiers where it's like, okay, full of DMPs, but there's some there could be promise next season.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
You're just 100% right on that. There has to be more tiers.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be more tiers like that.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
So D3 requires you to have at least three rares.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I believe, think you should be required one super rare. Is that correct?
Or two.
Oh, okay. Why?
Consistency. So Division One requires you to have three uniques. Division Two requires you to have four super rares. Division Three allows you to have up to two super rares. And I think that the actual requirement there is three rares, but come on. Like, you already have rares. Like, that's not, they're not, I don't know. It just seems inconsistent and silly.
There we go. But do you think, so I think two super rares makes it, I mean, obviously every super rare you require requires a bigger budget to get.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it a bad thing at all. It just makes it's just a little harder to get it. Do you think if they required two super rares in D3, that the current prizes are acceptable for that?
I think that the prizes in Division 3, regardless, need to be looked at and maybe not be so strong at the top. Like, all the divisions, I think, are a little overly top heavy, but I think Division 3 is really bad in that regard. I think also, like, if you require super rares, like require two, then it gives a little bit more utility to the crummier tiered super rare. So tier 3 super rare might actually have a little bit of value now, because it might get you into a tournament that you weren't able to play before. So you might be willing to spend a little bit more on a average type of super rare player just to get you into that tournament.
Right. Because right now you would rather a star rare than a tier 2 or 3 super rare.
100%. Like,
right.
A tier 3 super rare, like, why? There's no point, really. Like, just get a better rare and then play it.
Right. It's like the poor unique card question.
Yeah. 100%.
What do you do with that?
Yeah.
So do you think that tier... So you, if I remember this correctly, so you want super rares to be required in D3, and you want D2 to only be super rares, like no uniques, right?
Yeah, I don't like uniques in D2. And I think that the only people that, there's very few people that like the uniques in D2.
We're going there, Andy.
I mean, it's a very small subset of users that like that.
That not only have enough cards for D1, which requires three unique, or does it require three uniques? Yeah.
How about this? What would it be like if all the divisions were like Division 3, where you can have up to two super rares, or Division 2 up to five super rares, or Division 1 up to however many uniques? So if I wanted to lug in five rares into D1 and try to beat the guys with all the uniques, should I be able to do that?
Huh. That's fun.
Like, shoot your shot, right?
Right. Yes, I think you absolutely should be able to do that.
Yeah.
I think it would increase the number of people who enter. But they're all obviously all dead lineups.
Yeah. And does that fix progression a little bit?
Because you're just allowed to enter whatever you want.
Yeah. I don't have to meet any requirements. I'm probably not going to win. I'm probably not going to do good if I like play five rares there. I haven't really looked at what wins in those divisions, but I'm not thinking that a score that five rares put up can win one of those, especially when a lot more people are going to start doing that. You'll see a lot of five super rare probably lineups in D1.
Yeah, I think that's where you'll see the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we see five rares in D3 now, and sometimes they hit. I think that River Plate one was a few weeks ago. That was five rares. I mean, it's... It doesn't happen often. I was going to call it a rare occurrence, but that's just going to get confusing. Given how tough it is to win D3 with five rares, doing it in D2 and D1 seems worthless. But yeah, I totally agree. I think you should absolutely be able to play five super rares in D1.
Or five rares, right?
Well, yeah, yes.
Like, that might be a stupid thing to do, but let's say it's a midweek where only like six teams are playing. There's not going to be a ton of uniques out there. There's not going to be a ton of super rares out there. hey, shoot your shot with the five rares and maybe you can get fifth place or something. Like, I think that a lot of the anger towards the guys that play D1 is because it's like an exclusive club where they're allowed to do it and you're not. You're not allowed to even try because you didn't spend whatever to get there. So maybe if you opened it up and said, hey, you can try. You can try to beat them with your five rares or your three rares and two super rares. Probably not going to win, but good luck.
Do you think if they did do that, that star super rares end up in D1, which then theoretically makes D2 and D3 not so much easier to win, but I guess that gives more utility to tier 3 super rares, right? Because if people are using their star super rares in D1, then they're not using those in D2 or D3.
I don't think people would probably do that. I don't think people would waste those top cards. That could be completely wrong. I think that this discussion flips the game on its head enough to where there's not really much predicting outcomes. Before you got to so rare, that's how the game worked. Instead of percentage bonuses on these cards, they were multipliers. So it was like a rare started at 7.2x. So whatever your score was, it would multiply the score by that. And there were power caps on divisions, except for D1, where you could put unlimited power into the lineups. But D1, you could play five rares. But your rares had like a multiplier of like 7 to 11x, while the uniques could go up to like 60 to like 100x or something. So like you weren't – like even a bad unique – that scored like a very low score was beating a good rare, like a really good rare score. So I think if they did that, they would probably have to modify the bonuses a little bit to where there was a little bit bigger gap, maybe between like a rare, a super rare, and a unique, to where it really decentivized people from trying to win D1 with rares. But, I don't know. I feel like removing or just being consistent across the board with the way the division entry structures work, I think would be a net positive.
I love the idea. I'm surprised that you think that the XP bonuses aren't big enough though. But maybe because I don't have any tier 3 super rares that get outscored by tier, you know, star rares or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's extremely frustrating when trying to make a lineup. And I have a lot of bad super rares. Like that was kind of like, that was my way of getting into the super rare. It was a mistake. Like I should have like just saved my money and bought better ones or sold the bad ones when I won them and tried to get the good ones or whatever. But it is frustrating when you're making a lineup and you're like, oh, I really want to use this Luis Diaz super rare. But I know that this rare over here is just better and it's going to score more. Like, it's frustrating.
Well, you just make the best lineup. That's all you have.
You do. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not like the rare is going unused. It's just going used somewhere else.
Yeah. Or it'll go unused because I'll choose to use that super rare instead. Like the super rare will probably go unused if I don't use it because there's not that many places to use it.
Well, the super rare would, yeah. But the rare one, theoretically, if you think the rare card is good enough for D3, you should probably, and you can't, and you decide to play the super rare.
Yeah.
Do you think that there should be, I mean, do you think everybody should try to, like, a long-term goal of playing D1?
No.
So where do you think most people should realistically stop?
I'm not answering that.
Yeah. That was a crappy question.
I think that's up to the risk tolerance of the person that wants to play. I mean, kind of the way I think about So Rare is it's kind of a game of like blackjack where you either increase your bet as you continue to win or as you continue to play, or you decrease your bet, or you put the same bet out there. And I think as you go up in divisions to like Division Three, Division Two, Division One, that's like you increasing your bet as you play. Like, I'm going to bet more because you're playing
fantastic
enough. Higher stakes, right? D2 is higher stakes than D4.
Right.
So you're increasing your bet basically. So whatever your risk tolerance is, if you're willing to play higher stakes, then yeah, go to D2 or go to D1. If you have the money and the risk tolerance, then you should go to those higher divisions. But right, if you just kind of, you just want to play fantasy football and don't want to really get into high stakes, then D4 Academy, Division Three, that's probably your sweet spot.
I think that's the perfect analogy and advice. I think you answered the question without actually thinking you were answering it.
Nice.
So like the idea of progressing out, do you think there's a reason for them to award non-same cards in a division? So like, do you think there's a reason for them to award a Champion America card if you win something in Challenger Europe?
No, I think that's set up perfectly because the most users like start in All-Star D4. And that's very indicative of the stats that you've been showing where we have like, what is it, 6,500 entries. And there you go.
Yeah.
Where you just look at the entries. People are starting by playing in Global All-Star. And they can win any card in any region in that division. So that's SoRare's way of baiting you into the other divisions. So you win an Asian, you win a European player, and you win whatever. That's their way of saying like, hey, you have a card in Champion America. Maybe you should build a team there.
Yeah.
So that's great. But there should also be some control by the end user to say, you know what? I don't care about the Asians. I don't care about Challenger Europe. I don't care about Champion America. I only want to win Champion Europe players. I only care about EPL, the big leagues. I only care about the big five. So that's fine. Maybe you don't want to watch all the other crap and you just want to watch the big five. You go play Champion Europe. You buy the five best cards that you can buy or whatever. You acquire them. You go play in that division. You root for your players. And the only ones that you can possibly win are in that Champion Europe. That's great. I think that's a great setup.
Yeah, I agree. I think it kind of plays into the whole concept of that there's not a single way to play SoRare. And that doesn't even count like people who don't even play SO5, like plenty of people who just trade cards.
Card dealers, basically.
Yeah. And we've seen people come in and just buy cards as collectibles and hold them for, well, they're still holding them, so they haven't sold yet. But like, I think that's one of the nice features about it is that just like you said, like if you only like MLS, you can play Champion America, maybe get a Liga MX card and you can sell it for, you know, and then pick up a Wando on the secondary. I think that's a good point. Sorry, you saying something?
No.
Oh, it does seem like, and apologies to those who are listening on this, but there's a kind of a chart that I put up on the video that I tweeted out of just the number of entries that are in each division and level, and division and region. Like we're seeing growth everywhere, and which isn't surprising because we see that the charts on SoRare data that show, you know, a number of people have five cards and whatnot. Do you think that the growth people are saying like it's such a small group of people who play D1,
yeah,
but like we see it's growing, and it's like people are like, yeah, well, it's only like six people that, you know, of an increase, and it's like, well, it's, you know, that's triple that what is 6 months ago. Do you think that we continue to see that growth at that level, or do you think we run out of uniques?
What do you mean by run out of uniques? Like, it doesn't need players.
No, I actually meant cards, but I guess it's both ways of players. Like, based on how we've seen uniques being purchased, there are only so many people who will have enough to play D1.
Yeah.
And do you think, not that Sora is ever going to prohibit somebody from buying more unique cards.
Yeah.
But how does SoRare get more people to play D1 if, and like, forget about cost. Like, even if there are enough people who can afford all these cards, is there a reason for them to want more people to play D1?
I haven't really thought about that. That's a good question. I think yes, because inevitably you're going to have injuries. You're going to have a reason to need to buy a card. And the unique cards are the most expensive cards.
Right.
So, yeah, they want as many people playing D1 as possible, I think. That said, like you kind of mentioned running out of unique cards. I don't think that we're anywhere near close to that, because they don't really reward them. They reward the tier twos. They sell the tier ones and stars. There's tier three unique players that just – will never get minted, and maybe that is a good way to, maybe that's a good way to start getting people, pushing people towards it, is maybe starting to reward some of those.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There are too many players in this, just in the game, too many actual football players in the game that they're, if they wanted to mint a unique of all of them, that's more than enough.
Yeah, there's tons. There's tons of players on the platform that just never have gotten a unique, and may never.
Right. I mean, most people don't even get 100 rares.
Yeah. Now I think that there is a lot of factors that are preventing growth in Division One, and I don't really have a strong opinion on whether they're good things or bad things, but you know, there's a lot of things. Like the D1 players do to prevent people from coming in and playing. And there's obvious incentive for them to prevent people from coming in and playing D1. Like look at Champion Asia last week, only 19 players played. Five of them get rewards. So what is that? What, 25% of them are winning a prize? So the more people that come in, obviously that percentage drops.
Right.
So what do you think a unique holder, a D1 player might do to keep that number low?
Yeah. Buy more uniques.
Buy more uniques, bid on more uniques, drive the price up of uniques so that other people don't want to bid on them, are fearful to bid on them, or just give them pain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you see somebody coming in obviously wanting to compete in Asia D1, you make it painful for them. You pump the price of every card they bid on. You just keep sticking it to them. And even if they win the card, they're paying a lot of money for that card. And the next card they buy may not be as good because you stuck it to them. And I think that there's a lot of price. I call that price protection, price gouging. I don't think that it's like a bad thing. Like a nefarious thing. It's part of the game, which is kind of like it sounds bad, but I do feel like that's part of, there's no way preventing that. It's part of the way this game is played. It's an open market where you can bid on stuff like that. Like,
I don't think you want to prevent it.
Yeah.
I think it's perfectly fine. And I think that there are probably people listening to this who think it's outrageous.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a decent percentage of those people who have bought cards, rare cards on SoRare, and have bid on the same player after they bought it to make sure that that price goes up. So this is the same thing. It's just with a few extra digits on the.
Now I've done this with multiple cards. Rare cards, where I'll buy the rare card and then I'm like, all right, well, I bought them for 0.1, let's say. I'll bid 0.09 on the next one and say, okay, if I get it for 0.09, then it's like dollar cost averaging. Mm-hmm. Now I own them both for 0.095. And if I wanted to do the next one, I could keep bringing that down, and it DCAs me down a little bit and brings the average cost down. I think that's a bit of a strategy, but then I might end up with multiples, right? I might end up with three of the same player or extra rares that I guess then I could sell or whatever. But I think that same sort of thing, not the exact same thing because there's only one of each player, but I think that same thing happens with uniques where people bid on them to do some price protection on similar players.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get stuck with cards. So now they have too many uniques, or they have more uniques than they might have needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think luckily, thank goodness, we have a unique only division where extra cards can go into.
Thank goodness for that.
I mean, that is very self-explanatory, I think, on what happened there.
I think that was handled, I mean, not that there was like an incident, but I think the fact that tournament pays out one spot makes me feel okay about it.
Yeah.
It's worth like $10,000 now, which made me question me thinking that. But either way, it did seem just like a second global all-star D1 opportunity. But whatever.
You know, I think in all fairness, there should be something similar for maybe all scarcities. Maybe there should be an all super rare jackpot division and like an all rare jackpot division where just pace first pit place or something. And if you want to throw the cards in there, you can.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I'd never enter, but yeah, that'd be
fun. I mean, you're going to enter it. You're just, it might be a punt. Like it might be
right.
five, like a, not a very good lineup, but like if you have the cards, then you're just going to put them in there.
Right. If they were going into training or they could win an F, then yes, I guess I would. Yeah. You're right. I would definitely throw that in.
I think that more than anything, and I've mentioned this multiple times, I don't really like the inconsistencies across like where like one division has a different rule, like division three is up to, not required. And I don't like that there's just a global unique division and not a global super rare division or global rare division. Like, let's try to keep it fair across the board.
It does seem weird, like fundamentally, that I could put the exact same lineup in D4 and D3.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I would need duplicates. If I started to price protect and my five card, I ended up with doubles of all of them.
Yeah.
I could play both of them. I could win D4 and D3 on the same time, the same right. cards. That does seem a little weird. I agree with you on that one. Yeah. My notes have run out. You have anything else on progression? Did we skip anything?
I think that's it. I think I'm done whale bashing.
I don't think that was whale bashing.
I know. I like to joke about it because I'm friends with some of the guys that have the really massive collections and
yeah.
They take a lot of heat and honestly, they're good for the ecosystem.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I say honestly, they are definitely good for the ecosystem. And yeah, you need those top players. But you know, sometimes you gotta, I don't know, just be honest and kind of look at the appearance of it all, like them getting a special division for their cards and nobody else is, I don't know, doesn't seem right.
It's a benefit for spending $800 two years ago. That's all.
There you go.
All right. If you guys have enjoyed this video, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could please hit the like button below. If you are listening to the audio version of the podcast, if you could please rate and review it wherever you listen. Once again, this was brought to you by RotoWire. If anybody is interested in a RotoWire subscription, because we are a subscription fantasy sports site, you can go to rotowire.com/soccer trial. Sorry, we call it soccer. Gets you 10 free days to the site, access to all the sports we cover, as well as our subscriber Discord. For those who are playing Champion America, we go very deep on the MLS and Liga MX stats. So if you're a stats junkie, you should definitely check out that subscription. Andy, good talk again, and I will talk to you next week.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.